This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Teachers and school administrators all over the state are in fast forward right now, trying to plan for the next school year. That's as true at charter schools as it is in Michigan's public school systems. As a result of COVID-19 and the closing of buildings, the state recently required schools to submit a continuity of learning and COVID-19 response plan in order to continue receiving state aid. Robert Kimball is an associate vice president for charter schools for Grand Valley State University. We called him up to find out what their plan looks like. Rob, welcome to Stateside.
Thanks, April.
So you've identified three scenarios for what school might look like going forward to next fall. Can you run us through what each one looks like?
Yeah. So we've asked all of our 78 schools to do some proactive scenario planning. We've asked for three specific scenarios. One, completely virtual, when no in-person contact is allowed. Two, a hybrid approach, when limited contact could be allowed. And a full person, full in-person experience, as close to what we could get to as normal now. And within each of those scenarios, we've leaned on what our colleagues across the globe are doing as they reconsider opening schools in a COVID-19 environment. And that looks widely different across the globe right now. And the Michigan educators that we work with are looking at some of those examples and crafting scenarios to how they might plan to be able to serve students in the fall within each of those three ways.
Would you say that the process of retooling has happened any faster or even just differently within charter schools because of the way that they operate?
Well, I think charter schools, by nature, no family or student is ever forced to be in a charter school. So charter schools, by design, are highly sensitive to the interests of families and students. And that's not to say that traditional public schools or private schools are not sensitive to families' interests. That's just to say by design, based on the idea that our charter schools have to meet enrollment targets and understand and connect with families, we've seen our charter schools really rise to the occasion and build that connection with families in this moment. And you're seeing them do that in really innovative ways.
So as you said, you've identified these three different scenarios in which schools might operate in person, completely in person, completely remotely, or as a bit of a hybrid. Can you talk a little bit about what the challenges and considerations might be for each of those different possibilities?
You know, at this point, it's really hard to offer conjecture because that's just what it would be at this point. I think the hybrid approach is really difficult because a core value of the charter model is equity and equitable education for all, educational opportunities. And so one of the variables that we keep hearing tossed around again and again in the hybrid approach is that some students can come at certain times and other students will be remote. And that's concerning from the standpoint of we want to provide the same opportunities for all students. And we want to make sure that equity is at the fundamental bedrock of our designs going forward.
Right. So are you saying that, for example, you can't really say with certainty at this point what the hybrid would look like because there are so many things that would need to be worked out to ensure that students are getting the same opportunities across the board?
That's right.
Right. It sounds like that's similar to some of the conversations happening in Michigan's public schools right now.
I think educators are united in this moment, wherever they are, to solve some amazingly complex problems. And one of the great findings we had in our independent study of our continuity of learning plans was the fact that educators in this moment are being incredibly resilient and rising to the occasion and innovating. Solving problems for families, not just in the instructional paradigm, but also in the non-instructional paradigm and connecting and providing that socio-emotional support for families.
Rob, one of the things that public schools have become a hub for since the pandemic began are things that aren't necessarily thought of as a part of education's mandate: meal distribution and a plan to get technology into the hands of every student at home, in the case of Detroit Public Schools Community District. Can charter schools help families keep up with the needs that are falling through the gaps in the larger system in the way that Detroit has been? Or are there other ways that we might think about access to those things among students for charter schools?
Yes. So out of GVSU's 78 schools, 56 of them are serving as food distribution hubs. We worked hand in glove with all of our Detroit stakeholders and stakeholders across the state to ensure that all of our students were having access to quality nutrition. And then as far as device access and connectivity, it's been inspiring to see the educators dig into resources and connections to connect their students and families with those resources, whether it was boosting signal strength in parking lots to opening up surplus stores at the university to push out all the unused laptops to our homeless and dropped out students, to buildings, leaning on teachers to have them individually order with school resources the maximum allowable number of devices through Staples, and then pool those resources and get those devices out to families. It's been an incredible story of the resilience of educators at this moment.
How can schools that GVSU authorizes keep staff and teachers and students safe? For example, is PPE something that you're talking about with respect to next fall?
Certainly. We're waiting for the official guidance on what PPE expectations are to keep students and staff safe. And you can be sure that that charter schools, just as traditional schools and private schools, will be keeping student safety and staff safety at the top of their priority list as we start to think about what does learning look like going forward.
Do you feel like the timeline that exists right now for planning for fall is going to be realistic?
I think there's so many unknowns. I think educators feel an urgency to be able to continue to serve students well, particularly our highest need populations, where students may be best served by being in the classroom. And there's a number of unknowns, but there is some certainty, and that is the certainty that we know that educators are really ready to go with us and be able to educate students as best as they can this fall, regardless of the uncertainties at the moment.
What do you think the pandemic means for the future of the way we understand education?
I think we're going to, just as cell phones were really clunky at the beginning, distance learning was really clunky. It was difficult to understand the expectations and how things worked away from in-person instruction. And I think there'll be a greater comfort level with distance learning. I don't think snow days will ever be the same.
Rob Kimball is an Associate Vice President for Charter Schools for Grand Valley State University. Rob, thanks for your time.
Thanks, April.